Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. I'm Phil Giuliotti. I'm here with my friend Steve Garchar and our special guest this evening, Marty Goetz, whose voice you just hear on that song. And maybe later on we can have Marty tell you how you can get a hold of some of his CDs, which I think you would really enjoy. So, Marty, are you still with us?
I'm still here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Yeah. Good. So after you had this experience with Yeshua, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the music and what happened to you next?
Well, as I said, I've been trying to write music, hopefully decent music, for many years. By the time I left for California, I was writing with my cousin, who eventually he went on to write music for a show called Reading Rainbow on PBS. If you have children, your children might have seen some of that music.
Yes.
He did pretty well. Matter of fact, the fella who had written those shows that I was a part of, he was Chef Brockett on Mr. Rogers. Mm. So I had a lot of exposure to people involved with children's television. But when I got to California, one of the first things I did after the Vineyard was I met a fellow named Gabriel Ferrer, and he's the son of Jose Ferrer and Rosemary Clooney.
Mm.
And he was dating a girl named Debbie Boone. And Debbie Boone, of course, had a song called You Light Up My Life,
yeah,
which was a pretty big song in the late 70s, and met her, and she found out she was putting together a band to go out on the road. And Gabri was friends with some other folks at the Vineyard, and they put together, well, a fellow named Henry, friend of mine, said, let's get a band together, and we'll audition for Debbie, and we'll go out on the road. So we auditioned, we got the job, and we went out and played in Las Vegas and in Atlantic City and toured all over the country with her. And played "You Light Up My Life" about 8,000 times, and it was a great relationship. And what I started to do was I started to take the Bible and sit down, since I didn't have any collaborators at the time because I was in California. I didn't know anybody there that wrote music, so I figured, well, a lot of good songwriters in history have been Jewish guys, like you know, Bernstein and Sondheim and Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
I sat down and I opened the Bible and I said, "Well, here's this guy David. He's a pretty good songwriter, I guess, in his day."
Yeah.
So I started to write to the scriptures, and as I started to write, I started to really get inspired because I was beginning to love the scriptures more and more. And as I wrote, the music started coming, and the first thing I wrote was a musical treatment to Psalm 23. And Debbie recorded it on an album called With My Song. And I thought to myself, well, that was the first song I'd ever had put on an album. So I figured that must be where the blessing is. So I kept writing to the scriptures, and I've been doing it ever since. And now it's been, boy, it's been a few decades now that I've been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And people started asking me to come to churches. And then probably in the late 80s, early 90s, I really kind of found myself, the Messianic movement has a big conference in Pennsylvania every year, mm-hmm. called the Messiah Conference. And they invited me to come, and I had been playing in Messianic congregations before that here and there, but that really kind of got us really involved with the mishpucha, as you might say, mm-hmm. the family mm-hmm. of Messianic believers. And by the way, when I say our, I met a Jewish girl from New Jersey named Jennifer, who also had come to the Lord in California.
Wow.
She has an interesting story herself. She traveled with a fellow from Minnesota named Bob Zimmerman.
Oh, wow.
More affectionately known as Bob Dylan. And she had traveled with him for some number of years with the Rolling Thunder Review, which was Bob Dylan's kind of traveling troupe. She came to the Lord in the late 70s. We married in 1984. And she's kind of our business manager and our agent and our the person who does all the hard work. And we've been doing this ever since then. So we go all over, congregations, churches, whoever wants us, we usually come.
And your daughter, Misha, sings with you?
Yes, and then in 1991, our daughter, Misha, was born. And she now is in college, but out there in Salem, she's home for the summer. So she was out there with me, and she sang with me. She's a wonderful little singer herself and musician. She's going to be on the worship team at her college in California. So she really loves, she's actually teaching me a few things.
You know, I heard her
she's
sing.
She's a real worshiper.
I heard her in Salem, and she does have a beautiful voice. And you guys,
well, you
both sounded really nice together.
But she's also studying accounting so that she can, get a job.
Sounds like somebody else we know that says that.
Her old man can't do any of that.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with us, they can go to MartyGetz.com. Not for accounting, but if they want us to come and play at their congregation.
Now, Marty, in your ministry, where else besides the United States, where else have you ministered at, or has the Lord taken you with the music ministry?
Well, I am not quite as international as your buddy Paul, who's out there all the time. But we're going this summer, this fall, we're going to London and other parts of England with the Chosen People Ministries. Mitch Glazer head of that. And
yes.
I've had a relationship with Mitch ever since I was a new believer. I went to at that time he was with the Jews for Jesus, and I actually went to something they call an ingathering out there. I was a new believer, and I met Mitch for the first time, along with a lot of those early messianic believers that were part of the move of God in the late 70s and early 80s, late 60s even. But I'll be going to England, and also I had a chance in the 90s to go overseas with Jonathan Bernis, who of course is the host of Jewish Voice broadcast, and has a wonderful television program. And he had something called Hero Israel Ministries. He did festivals in Russia, and he's gone all over the world. I know Paul's done a bunch of those, but I was in Kyiv, Ukraine. I was in Moscow, I was in St. Petersburg, and we saw many, 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 many Jewish people come to know Yeshua at those festivals. So God is moving all over the world.
That's awesome.
When was that? When did you go there?
That was probably 90, I'm not good with dates.
1990s?
My wife's always telling me I make things up, but about 93 or 94.
So after the fall of the Berlin Wall, or right around there?
After the fall of the wall, absolutely.
You know, Phil and I, we had the opportunity, we met a pastor that was from the Ukraine. She came to know Yeshua as Messiah, and then the Lord just uprooted her whole family, and they all became believers. They're Jewish, and now she's a pastor at a congregation in Israel. And we had
in Galilee, and we had
the opportunity to meet with her when she came down to Youngstown one day.
In Youngstown, of all places.
Of all places. And she was talking about what was happening there in Ukraine, after the Berlin Wall fell, and just how there was this light that just, they had the sense of this light just coming into their country, and things were just radically transformed. Were you involved, or were you around there at that point in time when things were happening like that? If you were in the 90s?
I wasn't there at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I guess that was kind of like the very late 80s, but probably in those first 3 years. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Jonathan had been doing this for a while, And I was maybe at his third, I think maybe his third festival that he did in Moscow.
Wow.
But or the third festival he did, and it was in Moscow. I think it was probably the third one, but I'm not good with numbers, but yes, absolutely, it was a palpable move of God there. I mean, you could feel that the Spirit of God was moving on that country, and you know, when Jonathan would give his message, people would come streaming down, you know, from the balconies. And a lot of these people didn't even really know who they were. I mean, they knew they were Jewish, but they had never even, you know, observed their faith in Russia or in Ukraine because of the obvious persecution.
Right.
But
wow.
When they heard the message of the kingdom, they just rushed down. And a lot of these people, you know, I've been around quite a long time now. It's been 3 decades. A lot of these ministries for years and years have labored, some that I've mentioned already, but the Messianic movement and the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations and the Messianic Jewish Alliance, all these groups, and all filled with wonderful believers. They've labored for years and years and years, and then when the wall fell, all of a sudden there was this opportunity to reach into other places that were so hungry and so ready for the message. And I think, unfortunately, some of those doors are closing now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the darkness is retaking a lot of those places.
Yeah.
And not, of course, you know, that won't stop God's kingdom, but it's going to be a rough thing. And I think I hate to say it, but I think America may be the next place where the darkness begins to really overtake us.
Yeah, I think we've been seeing that happen.
I'm shocked at what's happening in our country.
Yes.
I think the Disney days of being a believer in this country are behind us.
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
Amen.
It's not going to be the same in the years ahead as it was for us.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy. But that's good, because it's time, you know, to kind of see if we're, you know, we can talk we can talk the kingdom, and we'll see if we can walk it.
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. In fact, Steve and I did two or three shows here in this program about confronting that culture based on Romans chapter 1, and I'm about a year older than you are, and it's really amazing when you think back to how things were when we were kids compared to how they are now. There's been a radical radical change.
And
that's also accelerating.
Pardon?
That's also accelerating now over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years.
Yes, and I was listening to a radio show earlier, and the fellow was talking about how, you know, if some of the things that are in the courts now become nationalized, there'll be very, it may be very soon that if people preach from pulpits or bimas, as you would say in the Messianic congregations, against anything that this culture is embracing, it's very possible that you could be shut down or put in jail or fined or who knows what is coming ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how did you end up living?
It's important to keep doing what you guys are doing.
How did you end up living in Nashville?
well, you know, you had mentioned my daughter. My daughter was born, as I said, in 1991, and we were in Los Angeles, living out in the San Fernando Valley. And the San Fernando Valley is a nice place, but it's, you know, it's pretty much a concrete jungle.
Yeah,
and we lived off of Ventura Boulevard, and it was just traffic and strip malls, and we just looked around, and we would walk down the street, and you would never see the same people twice on your street, you know. So we thought, and when she was born, we thought, well, maybe we want to think about going somewhere else to raise this, and she is our one and only, so. We weren't going to make a move necessarily. We went to Nashville to visit some people, and surprisingly enough, we found all these people who would go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, You know, that they would go to the Christian embassy there and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. They loved Israel.
Yes.
And as soon as we got there, they just loved on us, and they just took us in, and, oh, man, they just made a big fuss over us. And, you know, that Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
And we just loved it there, loved the people. We didn't, you know, and then we, I just sensed, I had just read a passage, and I'm not saying that this was this, what this passage means, but I was meditating on a passage when it says, Noah, being warned by God of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And I just had this sense that it was time to pack up my family and go to this place we had just visited, that it was a good place to raise this child that we had. And the only thing standing away is we had this condominium that we had bought and we were living in, and Jenny, who's very practical, talked to God and said, well, you know, we be nice to go, but we have this condo that we have to sell. You know? And sure enough, just in the course of about a week, somebody came to us looking to buy a condo in that
wow.
very same place.
Wow.
And in the blink of an eye, we did a deal with him, without a realtor, by the way, no commission, between us and him, and we sold it, and we are on our way to Nashville.
Awesome.
Wow.
And I know that... Go ahead.
When I got there, of course, my first thought was they need a good deli here, and I was going to call Nashville. which I began to joke about, and maybe somebody heard me, because sure enough, there are four restaurants that
Whoa.
Are Jewish delis there, and guess what they are called? Nashville. So there you go. Keep your mouth
and
shut is probably the word there.
And I know you
have a good idea.
And I know you refer to Nashville as being in the Southern Kingdom. So.
That's right. That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful place, and there's a lot of people. As a matter of fact, we've connected very strongly with a man named Don Finto. And some people might know Don. He wrote a book called Your People Shall Be My People.
Oh,
and
from the book of Ruth.
He's becoming quite well. If you don't have that book, I mean, that would be a great book for people to look for. Your People Shall Be My People, Don Finto. And he's a pastor there in Nashville. He was a pastor to people like Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and when Christian music became kind of crossover in those days in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
you know, those days with Michael and Amy were kind of breaking down those walls. And he, just in the last few years of his life, got this tremendous love for Israel and a passion to see the church understand who they are in Yeshua. And he goes to Israel all the time. He's a really good
wow.
friend with a lot of the Messianic believers over there. And we've become very good friends with him. So we're doing our best in Nashville to make sure that the Southern Kingdom is coming along. And so you can pray for us.
Yes. That's awesome.
Thank you for reminding me of that, because I haven't said that in a while. So
yeah.
I have to reintroduce that.
Well, see, I've seen you around, and every time you say that, it cracks me up.
Yeah, well, it certainly is. Well, yeah, exactly. And
but
that's, of course down in the Southern Kingdom, we say shalom, y'all. Of course.
Yes. And, of course, you know, that's another good reason for people in Christian churches to really study the Old Testament so they can get jokes like that. Or
that's
else
right,
they just
right.
don't get it.
Right. That's right. Just for the jokes. That's
yeah.
funny.
Steve and I spent a lot of time teaching Torah and the Tanakh in general to Christians because, you know, yeah. you encounter so many times people saying, well, I don't like to study the Old Testament. It's really boring.
Yeah.
It's all those
yes.
names, all those battles, and who wants to learn? Let's just start with Jesus because he's nice.
Right, exactly.
And so we do a lot of, I teach a lot of home Bible studies and do conferences in churches. And, you know, Steve comes along and does music and, because I can't do music, but Steve can do music.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, so great. It's been awesome.
Well, so many people are doing that. I mean, that seems to be on so many people's hearts to do that. As
yes.
I said, that the pastor, J- Joseph out there in Salem just has a passion for those things.
And, yes.
Of course, we're going to be, as you're probably going to mention, we're going to be at Tikvat Yisrael, which is the first Messianic group that I knew of in Cleveland. When I first became a believer, I heard about a fellow named Walter and his wife Linda Lieber, and went over to visit them, and they were the heads of this place called Tikvat Yisrael. And got to be good friends with them. I think they've gone. They moved to the Holy Land. They moved to Florida.
Yes, right. They're in Miami.
They're not here anymore. But that's really the Southern Kingdom.
Well, you know, because of indirectly because of you, I got to be good friends with Rabbi Walter.
Oh, did you?
Yes, because you were here on a weekend in May of 2000,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, I had a couple of your CDs, and I heard about this Messianic congregation, and Marty Goetz was coming. And so my wife and I went out to the congregation, and I thought you were going to be at the service, but you, in fact, were not at the service, but you did a concert later that evening at Lutheran East High School. But because I went to the service, I got to meet Rabbi Walter Lieber, and we got to be friends. And we still keep in touch, even though he lives in Miami.
That's right. Going to Miami. That's right.
And he always
told me. I'm going to be out in Westlake in the evening.
Yes, you are.
And so I appreciate they're going to have me out there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know if you guys are going to announce those places. I don't have the locations in front of me right now.
Yes.
Because I'm on my cell phone. But if you guys have them, maybe you could make the announcement.
Yes,
we do. You have them, by the way?
We don't.
Oh, you don't?
No. Well, maybe Steve does.
You know what?
But
they
it's Prince of. I know it's Prince of Peace. It's Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church on Center Ridge Road in Westlake.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes, and that is about to start right now as this program is on the air. So if you live in the Westlake area. Go to Prince of Peace Lutheran Church right now. Don't waste any more time. Just jump in your car and go over there. Well, we're coming up to another break, and we'll be back for the last segment of this show with Marty Goetz in just a minute.